Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts, and I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for your word and the richness of it, and this long period of history that we have from creation to revelation. We just thank you for this piece of it here and pray that you would speak to all our hearts, that our hearts would be pliable to you, Lord, that your word would be able to take root and grow. We pray these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Okay, like I said, a psalm of David, a praise of David, it says. From the get-go, David starts with some determination. In verse 1, I will extol you, my God. Extol just means greatly praise. In the next verse, I will bless your name. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. So this isn't David promising to God. This is just an exercise of his will. He's determined to praise God and to do so daily. Interestingly, this psalm, as well as a few others, in Hebrew, it just follows the alphabet. The first verse is, if I remember Hebrew, Aleph, and the second one's Bet, and goes all the way down. So that was done for ease of memorization, and just so that it would be, you know, we sing these songs, and I think one of the psalms were sort of like that. You might be going through your day, and, oh, hey, that's, you know, just, it's easy to remember that way. So, and I think that was done for a reason. I love this psalm. So in verse 3, the praise actually begins. He's saying, I will praise you. I will bless you. And in verse 3, he starts, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In other words, the Lord is great and he is to be praised greatly. And his greatness is unsearchable, it says at the end of verse 3. Verse 4, I love this. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation shall praise your works to another. He sent manna while they were in the wilderness. He caused the sun to stand still in the sky. He gave them the promised land. He knocked down cities before them. He called David, and he promised that David's descendants would forever sit on the throne. And obviously, that'd be all up to David's point, but I'm going to keep going past that because we're quite a bit further on, and there's a lot more good stuff here. God was the one who gave Solomon his wisdom. God destroyed whole armies even while they slept to protect Israel. God called out the people when their hearts wandered. He called out to the people, I'm sorry, when their hearts wandered. He gave them pictures like Hosea of the deep longing that God had for his people. He sent fire. First, he sent a drought, and then he sent fire from heaven through Elijah. He preserved the people's lives through Esther. He protected those taken captive to other nations because of the sin of Israel. He shut the starving mouths of the lions for Daniel. He promised one to redeem his people, one greater than Moses and Elijah. He sent himself. He caused Mary, a virgin, to give birth to the Son of God. He revealed, like he never had before, himself to his own people. He taught, he healed, he suffered, and he died. He conquered death through the resurrection. He sent the Holy Spirit. He gave birth to his church, and he's promised to take his people to be with himself forever and ever. Our God has a lot of great works, and that just scratches the surface. We read the Old Testament, and I think we think it's kind of way back there, but it's just the story of what God has done in the lives of his people. So when David says, one generation shall praise your works to another, I got to think that's all in his mind, God's amazing works. And what a great picture of one generation passing it on to another. You know, they didn't always have what we think of now as scriptures in written form. A lot of it was passed on generation to generation to generation. Very, very rich, just verbal heritage that they had. Verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. And literally, at the end of verse 5 there, on the words of your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Now, David here is talking about the greatness of God. So we're praising not only what God has done, but who God is. So we praise his works, what he's done, and we praise his name, who he is. So his name is like his reputation. A good example, I think, is you think of Lance Armstrong, and maybe first you think, oh, whoa, he was a great bicyclist, and then all the other things that happened, the cancer maybe, but then the lies. And so anyway, all of that, when you say the name Lance Armstrong, that all kind of, if you follow sports at all, that sort of floods to your mind. God's name, his reputation, all these works that he's done, who he is. Verse 6, I believe we were. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, or pour forth the fame of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, or over all he has made, over all his creation. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. In verse 11, David starts talking about God's kingdom. He says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Now, if we think of a medieval kingdom, or maybe a great civilization like Rome or something like that. All these great civilizations had power. There was at least some amount of safety for the people who counted themselves part of that kingdom. There was an identity for those people. They were, we are Rome, or you know, whatever it is. We are Sparta, I don't know. You know, there was some amount, at least maybe in the upper, you know, the more wealthy people of the kingdom, there was like a pride, an allegiance that they had to their kingdom, and probably, you know, to varying degree to the people that were poorer, but they were the people of those kingdom, of that kingdom, and so all those things, you know, we don't think of it in terms of kingdoms now. We have a United States of America, but we have some of those similar things. We have some sort of pride, misguided or not, hopefully not, in our country, at the very least in what the principles that it was founded on. But God's kingdom has all those things. God is powerful beyond our the scope of our imagination. We've just talked about his power. For his people, those that belong to his kingdom, there is safety. There's an identity for the people who belong to the kingdom of God. There's an allegiance. But God's kingdom has something that no other kingdom has. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. I think we often don't think of ourselves in terms of being part of a kingdom in that same way, in the way that, you know, that we think of ourselves as Americans or Canadians or what we know, whatever we are. If any of you are from Canada. that's okay. But to think of all those things, to have our identity and to know the power and the everlastingness of his kingdom, the dominion that God has, you know, our everything that you hear in the media is, doesn't think that this is God's kingdom. You know, nothing, it all belongs to him, but you won't hear any of that. It's all usurpers. But in verse, his kingdom, in verse 14, now, David's been talking about the strength and the greatness of God, but here in these next few verses, he talks about God's strength and greatness in a more personal, more gentle way. It's a little more quiet. The Lord upholds all who fall. And I think the picture here that we're meant to get is like a toddler, maybe, can walk a little, but they fall, and the Lord is there to keep them from really biting the dust good, you know? He upholds those who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. His care for all things in verse 15, and what it says there in verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. What a great picture of really what the true state of things is. You know, the whole earth, science has its theories, and science ultimately should prove the existence of God and his greatness. But I think we try to separate them, unfortunately. But really, all things are upheld by God. He created all things. And the word says that in Christ, all things are sustained. Things keep going. This world is only still in existence because God isn't finished yet. What a great picture of everything good coming from God's hand for us, for, you know, the animals don't, you know, like it says in Matthew, that they don't labor and spin, the birds are fed, it says. And how much more will your Heavenly Father feed you is what Jesus says there. So just a great picture there. Who else? God has this ability to touch to the depths of the beings that he's created. He gives purpose and fulfillment and peace. Who else, really, who else could satisfy but the one who created these beings? You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his works, in all his ways, sorry, gracious in all his works, in verse 17 there. Verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Now David finishes here in the next verse, in really affirming the same exercise that he started with, the determination. The beginning he said, I will, And here in verse 21, he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And the next part says, and all flesh bless his holy name. I think some translations take that as, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So David is determined to praise this God, this one whose works are mighty, whose name is mighty. And let all flesh do the same thing, is what he's saying. Let the same be true of all things. Now, like we talked about, the psalm was written sort of alphabetically, so it was more easily remembered. And I love this psalm. I want to remember the Lord this way. I want to praise him every day in this way, remembering his great works throughout history, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God has done great works in my life. I remember just different things that you know, how can you explain? Someone paid part of my tuition once when I had no money. It was just down to the wire and there, oh, it's paid. Somebody paid it for you. Wow, it was amazing. In different ways, God has shown himself faithful and done things. Just raise your hand if something has happened to you or someone very close to you that you know came from God's hand or some great work that the Lord has done. Now, keep your hand up, okay? Everybody look around. Like, the God that we read about, you can put your hands down now, the God that we read about, in the Old Testament is the same God that we worship today, the God that sent his son to die for us, sent himself, and the God who promised that he would return and bring us all to be with himself, the God who birthed the church, that's the same God that we serve today. So, you could say that we're an advantage to David. In fact, we have a great advantage because we're in the new covenant, but we have another, I don't know, a couple thousand years at least more of history that we can praise God for. I've said this before, but when you read the news or you read history, read it in that light. This is God's kingdom. You know, people like to spin it all kinds of different ways, but this is still God's kingdom. I want to praise his mighty works and recognize them as such. We got a few more minutes. I would love to just read through this again, just front to back, having dug in like that. Just soak it in. I will extol you, my God, O King, verse 1, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, all he has made. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.